You have a Bible this morning, you'll find our text in the book of 2 Kings. Is my mind falling apart or I hear my echo? It's a joy to be back at Benson Grove and thank the Lord for the open door here and for Brother Billy and Regina. Their kindness in allowing us to be here. And I think these speakers are still on. Is that what's the problem? It's hard to get a good mic, man. Thank God there won't be none of y'all in heaven. You'll be there, but you won't be running the PA system. I won't make you totally mad right out the gate. 2 Kings chapter 2 and 1 Kings chapter 17, if you have a Bible. I hope you brought a Bible with you. It's extremely hard to study a Bible if you don't have a Bible with you. Maybe you can see where we're going. I'm interested in a little question that a young preacher boy asked of a old prophet. This young preacher boy probably hadn't even preached a message yet. But he witnessed the old prophet going to heaven in a whirlwind. He never died. And he immediately, after seeing this happen, he posed a question. And it is in my heart in these services, as Brother Billy allows us to preach, to seek to answer this question. The question is posed in verse 14 of chapter 2. And he, talking about Elisha, took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, here's the question. Where is the God of Elijah? I would pose that question to us. Where is he? Because I don't know how you feel about it. Elijah had a begging. His God could do some mysterious things. Of course, I feel like maybe he's gotten old. He's probably gotten decrepit because this has been so many years ago. Or could it be possibly he's the same God? And maybe it is that we need to go to seeking him. Deuteronomy said, seek the Lord God, he can be found. If you seek him with all thy heart, with all thy soul, I would think that the real question is this morning is, where did Elijah find his God? And I want to begin to try to answer that question this morning, if you have the Bible, in 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. I noticed this morning that Elijah found him in the providence of God. The providence of God. I'm noticing after 57 years of knowing the Lord that I often find him in the providence of God. Well, preacher, what is providence? It is the essential foresight of seeing and planning all things beforehand. He planned all in my life from beginning to end, from heaven to earth, from birth to death, to catastrophic, to calm, to weed, to wheat, everything in between. Notice the providence of God in the life of Elijah. I was wondering this morning, do you struggle with God's providence, how he is arranging your life, or do you cooperate with it? Because there's nothing happening to you that God didn't plan it beforehand. Well, there's a couple of you said amen to that. Maybe the rest of you will figure it out after a while, after you've struggled with it enough. The psalmist said, my expectations are from the Lord. Whatever he sends, that's what I was expecting. That's what I was expecting. As we begin in 1 Kings chapter number 17, we're confronted with God's arranging providence even in the name that this man has, Elijah. The L in his name is my God, my God. And the Jah is Jehovah, or the God that is, the I Am. So Elijah's God, he is the Lord God Almighty. I was interested in the fact that this 3,000 years ago, he is. I didn't know if you know it or not, but 3,000 years later, today, he still is. He never has been a was. He'll never be a shall be. But he is always is. Now that's going to be trouble. Because Jesus told the religious Pharisees one day, he said, before Abraham was, I am. They said, you're not yet a man 50 years old. He said, Abraham lived thousands of years ago, and Abraham knowed you? He said, yeah. He said, because I am. But then he made this statement. In John 8, he said, if you do not believe that I am, you'll die in your sins. Wow. That means that Muslims, they don't believe that God is, that Jesus Christ and God the Father are one and the same person. Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe that. Mormons don't believe that. Jesus said, if you don't believe that, you'll die in your sin. I know a lot of Baptists don't believe that, that Jesus Christ and God the Father are one and the same person, that the one that died on the cross was the creator of the universe. He said, if you don't believe that, you'll die in your sin. Wow. Elijah found him in the providence of God. Watch it as we begin to unpack the text of this providence. I noticed this morning the pronouncement of providence. There is a word from Elijah to Ahab in verse number 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, this is a pagan king. He worships the Baal God. He does not believe that Jehovah God is. And Elijah has come with a message. As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. What a powerful message to deliver to a pagan king, one that has the ability to remove your head from your body. Such a powerful and fearless message to deliver. A message from Elijah to Ahab. Watch the text. There is a word from God to Elijah. The Bible says in verse 2, and the word of the Lord came unto him, came unto Elijah. God speaks this morning to those who believe in his providence. He will speak in the arranging of your life. As he arranges everything from sickness to health, from life to death, we will see that he is the Lord God Almighty. He is the one that rules and reigns over it all. But oh, we must obey him. We must listen to him. I was reminded of a quote I read just a few weeks ago. St. Augustine, 354. That's a long time ago, 354. He says, if this Bible is open, God speaks. Wow. And some of you, if that's true, you don't even have God with you this morning to open it up so He can speak. Hello? Are you listening to me this morning? Oh, the pronouncement of providence. But notice the power of providence. My question is this morning, where in this world did Elijah get the guts to go and tell this man, hey, it ain't gonna rain around here for 3.5 years. You ain't even gonna have no dew on the grass. Where in this world did he get that power? Notice the source of the power, if you would, in the middle of verse number 1. As the Lord God of Israel liveth, these words, powerful, before. I was interested in that little word before. Face to face is the word. Face to face. Elijah said, I live my life continually face to face with God. Wow. And then he makes this statement. Before whom I stand. The little phrase has the idea of a continual presence in the presence of another. Elijah said, I live my life face to face with God in His continual presence. Oh, that's where we need to live this morning, in the continual presence of God. Everything we do ought to be lived in His presence. Old Moses spent 40 years tending sheep. David spent years tending sheep. Much time alone with God before His face. David called it the secret place of the Almighty. I'm telling you this morning, time spent alone with God is not wasted time. But it shall give you prevailing power with God, and it shall give you power with man. Much time spent on. What in the world would I want to spend time with Him for? Because He is the Lord God Almighty. He is the one that has never been a was. He is one who never shall be, but He's always is. I don't know about you. I probably told you this before. I was in the 10th grade on 3 different occasions. I won the Preacher Boys contest at Bob Jones University. And they called me in and told me they were going to give it up to the second runner-up. Bob Jones Jr. was there that night. He said my English was so atrocious that they were going to give it to the second runner-up. Junior's dead and I'm still preaching. I never could get those verb tenses, you know, was and is and all the past, the present, the future. I never could get them straight. Such a blessing when I met Him. He don't need to be conjugated. He's always in the present tense. That ought to be worth somebody saying hallelujah. He's a God who He is. And Elijah said, I live in His continual presence. Oh, see, if you live in His presence, it doesn't matter what providential circumstances come your way. You know He's there. He's the one that planned it all. You don't have to struggle with it. You can cooperate with it. I'm talking about the source of this power. But notice the standard of this power. Elijah obeyed what God told him to do. See, if you obey God as He speaks to you, This is awful deep. I don't know if you can even get this or not unless you got a doctor's degree in theology. Some of you here this morning, God has spoke to you before. You never obeyed him. Some of you, God spoke to you and told you you're lost. You need to get saved. You never done anything about it. He is not obligated to speak to you again until you obey what he started out with. See, if you'll obey what he said to start with, this is deep now, he'll speak to you again. I love the hound out of it. I like when he talks to me. Huh? You don't want God to put you on mute. Oh, no, 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 no. He puts you on mute. You're in trouble. Must obey him when he speaks. God will speak to him again. Watch the text. The word of the Lord came unto him again. Verse number 2 said, get thee hence, turn thee eastward, and what? Hide thyself. I was interested in that little word, hide thyself. The little phrase means to refrain from public appearance or saying anything. He told Elijah, don't say nothing else to them about me. Keep it quiet. Wow. God has told Elijah, don't speak to them anymore. You do realize there's coming a day when God is going to send a famine of the Word of God. Not a famine of having a Bible. No! A famine of it saying anything to you, to me. Are you listening to me this morning? He is telling him to hide himself. It is always God's response to disobedience. He puts the people on mute. Well, who in the world does he think he is that he can put me on mute? I tell you who he thinks he is. He thinks he's the Lord God Almighty. He thinks he's running the show, and he's convinced me of it. He is this morning. Amen. Oh, I'm talking about the standard of power. What in the world did Elijah get that power? This is deep now. Constantly, face to face, in his presence, ongoing conversation with God at all times. Elijah didn't say his prayers. God forbid. Some Baptists do. Elijah talked to God all day long. He was conscious that he awake, he would start talking to God. He wouldn't stop until he closed his eyes and sleep at night. I love that, don't you? I'm talking about the standard of power. But notice, if you would, the preparation of providence. There is a sun preparation, S-U-N. Notice what direction he told Elijah to go in. Get thee hence, verse 3. Turn thee. What? The world you want to go that way for? It'd be awful bright. That is the only direction God ever leads you in, is in the bright direction. He leads you in the direction of light. No wonder Paul said, have no fellowship with the darkness of this world. Oh, always want to live in the light of the S-O-N. He tells him to turn hence. Don't say anything to anybody. He says, abstain from speaking. He says, I put them on mute. I put them on hold. Not going to speak to them. He says, but I want you to head towards the light. Oh, I'm glad when God sends us providentially towards the light. There's sun preparation. I notice there is seclusion providence. He says it will be here, this providence. He says in verse number 3, get thee hence. He says in verse number 4, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook that I have. What? Commanded? God says, I've ordained this. I planned this out ahead of time. This is the way it's going to transpire. The world is Elijah's life telling us. He's telling us, I did that to your life too. I have arranged everything about it. Your failures, your successes, everything about it. I planned it out. Wow. He says, I've ordained it. I've commanded that you could drink there at a brook. Oh, I love that, don't you? Notice, if you would, the place of providence. I notice that it is a trying place. Have you noticed that God don't always send you to Happy Happyville? You know, sometimes he sends you to Sad, Sad, Sadville. But it is the same God arranging it all. He has sent him to Cherith. History says that Cherith was a stream. It is not a brook. It is not a river. Most theologians believe it was about 20 yards wide and about 3 foot deep. But I love the word Cherith and its meaning. The meaning of Cherith is a grave drought. If there was ever a lack of rain in this area, Cherith would dry up first. Elijah knew that. He has gone there to Cherith. And there, the Lord has told him, I want you to go there and drink of that water. You know, Elijah could have trusted the blessing. That's what a lot of you do, trust in the blessing. He could have trusted, oh, bless God, I got my hope in Cherith until it dries up. See, you can put your hope in your little old blessing, your little old 401k and all that little old money you got stashed away. You put your hope in that blessing until it dries up. But see, Elijah don't have his hope in the blessing. No. He's got his hope in the blesser. I hear he don't ever dry up. Well, how in this world can it be that he never dries up? Because he is. He's the Lord God Almighty. He never dries up. I love that, don't you? See, he's going to try you to see if you're going to put your hope in what you can see, what you can feel, what you got, instead of the one that gave it to you. Put your hope in him. Here, I'm talking about the trying place. But I notice it is a teaching place. Historians believe that he stayed here between 1 to 2 years. Brother Brooke Cherith. It's very clear that God says, I will provide water for you to drink. You must have water in order to exist. But me being a fat boy, my next question after I had a drink of water would be this. What we're going to eat? I know we got water, but I need something to eat. And it seems as though our Lord has taken care of that too, according to verse number 4. Notice what he says. He says, I have commanded the... What? I have ordained. Since I'm their creator, I have put it in their brain to feed you every day, twice a day, morning and evening, for however long you're there. Well, who exactly is going to do this? ravens. They're one of the most abominable birds that they are. They a kissing cousin to a buzzard. I'm gonna have them bring your food and your meat every day. Time out. Got a problem. They don't eat bread. They're not bread eaters. What in the world? How are they gonna get bread to bring to the preacher twice a day? If you remember the story of Obadiah, he put 100 preachers in a cave and he took them bread every day and water to hide them from Ahab and Jezebel. Now, this is just my crazy thinking now. I was wondering if maybe Obadiah's wife, after she baked up that bread, where in the world they get bread from? It's a drought. You can't raise no wheat. Obadiah did, and he's got bread for those 100 priests. I was wondering if every morning, every afternoon, she stuck a little bit in a hand out the window, and the raven come by there and picked it up. You say, you crazy. Don't pinch me and wake me up. He has taken that bread down there to Elijah. Now, they all meat eaters. But as I studied the raven, I found that they're the most stingiest bird that's ever been created by God Almighty. They have even been known to starve their little babies to death and feed themselves. It's a drought. And he is going to bring meat down there every morning, every afternoon. He's a stingy bird, and he's going to bring it down there and feed the preacher every morning. How in this world can that happen? Because the Lord God Almighty caused it to happen. Everything that's happening to you and I, he's causing it to happen. I read a little thought about a raven. They have a 7-year-old mentality. Matter of fact, I read a little illustration about a raven. They put a piece of meat in a glass cylinder. They put it in the middle of the glass cylinder, and it's open on both ends. For about 30 minutes, he tried every way he could to get that meat out of that cylinder. Tried to stick his head in there. Tried to pick the outside. And after about 30 minutes, this is deep now, he went and got him a stick, run it through one end, and drove the meat out the other end and ate it. I love the hound out of that, don't you? God says, I'm going to put it in his mind, Elijah, to come and feed you every day. Oh, and you going to worry about your power bill this month? I tell you, if you are, you're a fool. God is much bigger than all of our bills. God is much bigger than all of our needs. He can make the ravens come and take care of us. There is the providence of the place of providence. But I see the purging of providence. John 15 says, for his people that abide in him, and he abides in you, he says, I'll purge them so that they can bear more fruit. That little word purge, it has the idea, if I was to have some shearing, just cut all this off. That's what it does with us. Cuts everything away, don't look like Jesus, so we can bear more fruit. Notice how it operates. Notice the way of purging. There's the watch of purging in verse number 7. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up. Well, Elijah's been watching this brook. It probably goes from 20 yards wide, 15, 10 to 5. Probably went from 3 foot deep to 2.5, 2 to 1. Notice one morning it was just a trickle, just enough for him to get a couple of drinks out of it. And the next morning is dirt. Probably don't look like no ravens coming today. What am I gonna do? Oh, you don't have to worry about nothing. The God who is arranging the providences. Notice what he tells him in not only this purging watch. Notice the way of purging. He tells him in verse number 9, arise and get thee to Zarephath. What? From the brook Cherith to Zarephath is 110 miles by foot. It is around an 8-day walk across a desert with no water, across a Gentile patch of country. I thought it was interesting. You almost think God wrote the Bible. Zarephath means a crucible for refining gold. Wow. He's going to send him down to Zarephath and he's going to refine some gold. That's exactly what God's doing in providence to us. Job said, when he hath refined me, I shall come forth as pure gold. That's what the goldsmith does. He takes gold, he heats it up hot. All of that dross, all that fool's gold bubbles up to the top. I call it Tom, and he rakes it off and he heats it up again. It bubbles up, that old Tom, and he's raking it off. He'll continue to do it until the goldsmith looks into the gold and sees his reflection, and he'll say, that one's done. Amen. Exactly what he's doing with his providence. What in the world gives him right to do that for? Heat me up. He's the Lord God Almighty. He does as he pleases. He's not trying to make you happy. He's never been interested in making you happy. He is interested in making you holy. And I find the more he makes me holy, the more I don't like it. Are you listening to me? I'm talking about the way of purging. But notice the promise of providence. The Bible says he's told him to go down the Zarephath. And in verse number 10, so after a week of prayer, he finally got up and went. It doesn't even say that in the Living Bible. The minute he told him to go to Zarephath, and could I just stick this in as an afterthought? This is the hometown of Jezebel. He's going to put Elijah right under her nose and take care of him. Wow. I was wondering this morning if you obey God when he speaks to you. If he speaks to you this morning, tells you to come to an altar and pray, is that, you won't have to think about it, just right on? I was thinking about, most of us would, this would be our attitude. My pastor back home, we had big vacation Bible school week before last. And his little 3-year-old granddaughter came to stay with him. And come to vacation Bible school. And he was telling us that every time he'd asked her to do something, she would immediately say, I will. And as she was walking off, she said, later. I believe we got some of them here this morning. God speak to you? Oh, I will. Later. I'm here to tell you this morning, he is not a later God. He is a right now God. He may quit speaking to you after he speaks to you one time and put you on mute. You don't want him to do that. Are you listening to me? There is the path of promise. He arises and goes. But I notice the provision of providence. It says there in verse number 10, so he arose and went to Zarephath, came through the gate of the city. Behold, the Lord, who is it you're going to have me to take care of? You know, the ravens did real good. Who's going to do it next? A widow. Fixed income. She ain't got nothing. She's going to take care of me. Matter of fact, the text tells us when he gets there, she's gathering sticks. She tells him, she says, I got enough meal to fix me and my boy one cake. We gonna split it, eat it, and die. I don't know about you. I don't know if I want to trust that gal to take care of me. And listen, God commanded it to be. And crazy Elijah, the Bible says in verse 14, he saith, back up in verse 12, he says, make me one first. What? Make me one first. So in making him one first, she's going to give God her little bit. What is she going to get it in his place? God's everything. That's all God wants out of some of you, just your little bit, because that's about all you got. That's all I got, just a little bit. Oh, when I give him my little bit, he providentially gives me his everything. Where is the God of Elijah? Seek for him. You can find him in the arrangement of providence in your life. I was wondering this morning, are you cooperating with that providence? Ah, preacher, I don't like what God's doing. Well, take it up with him if you ever see him. But I'm here to tell you this morning, everything that's happening to you, he arranged it all. I close with this little thought this morning. William Cowper's. Old William. He was a member of John Newton's church. Little parish in Oney, England. Old William didn't come to church much. You couldn't count on him to come. How come? He was a manic depressant. They say old William stayed in his bedroom for 3 years before he died, never come out of it. Old John would write him and encourage him to keep to going. On three different occasions, he tried to kill himself. One time, he tried to fall on a butcher knife. And the knife blade broke. One time he took poison. And it hadn't long hit his stomach and he throwed it back up. One time he hung himself. One of his neighbors just happened to come by and cut him down before he died. Spent a number of years in a mental institution. Matter of fact, that's where he got saved. He said one of the doctors in the mental institution was out on a bench reading his Bible. He got called away quickly and laid the Bible down beside of him. William Cowper said, I sat down and it was turned to Romans chapter 3 that we can be justified by faith through the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, God saved him there on the bench. You probably remember some of William Cowper's work, don't you? He wrote that song, There Is a Fountain. Filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. But after all Cowper's went through, I was fascinated by the words of a song he wrote about the providence of God. I wonder if you would have wrote this if you had been a manic depressant all your life, never were able to get out of the darkness of depression. He wrote these words, God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep in an unsearchable mind of never failing skill, he treasures up his bright design and works his sovereign will. And ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings, yea, in blessings on your head. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behold a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The flower, the bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. I love the chorus, God of mercy, God of grace, give us eyes to see your smiling face in all the mysteries of your providence of grace. I don't know what God's doing in your life this morning. I don't know if it's good or bad, but you can rest assured of one thing. He is the Lord God Almighty. We're standing this morning, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, and Brother Billy is a-coming.